Well, thank you, Claire. And thank you all for a wonderful welcome. Wonderful here. Well, hey, it's packed. It's great to see so many of you here. It's great to hear about your new minister after all this time of praying together. And it's great to hear about your day of action. My name is David, and I feel a particular calling to preach in churches with really clean ceilings. Actually, I mean, why do you have power sockets in your ceiling? I mean, did the electrician forget his glasses or something?
It's only late.
I think it'd be a wonderful sort of quiz question, wouldn't it? It would. I think multiple projectors were going to be suspended or something. I don't know. Wow. And how wonderful to be here at Pentecost. I'm a curate, which is a sort of Church of England term for a little vicar, at the sort of IKEA church up the road at St Paul's Howell Hill. And I love Pentecost. It ranks with the other great transformative moments in the history of the world. Creation. When, whether through the process of evolution or whatever, God did breathe all that is into life. In all its cosmic wonder and its microscopic genius. He entered. Heaven touches earth the moment of incarnation when we are able to see the face of God himself in the face of Jesus. The precious gift of Christmas. The ultimate sacrifice on the cross and the bridge that Jesus creates for us all to be restored to a beautiful relationship with the God who adores us, who seeks to welcome us home. And then, 40 days later, the extraordinary release of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost onto all those who seek Jesus, who love Jesus, and want to ask for his gifts and his presence with us. And Christmas and Easter perhaps have been taken over to some extent by the commercial world. Pentecost. And isn't it wonderful that Trafalgar Square is going to be packed? Isn't it wonderful that the Spirit of God is moving in power across this world? Pentecost is this most... And the outside world doesn't even know what Pentecost is. They can't produce bunnies or Christmas trees or anything else. This is our day. And it's a day which changes everything as the power of God we receive afresh in our hearts. So, is the Holy Spirit some newfangled thing that's a bit suspect? You come across churches that go, well, you know, we do the Bible, really, but we don't really do the, ooh, ooh, the Holy Spirit, because that's kind of a bit weird and it's a bit new. So the first thing I want to say this morning, because it's important that we revisit these truths, then we can communicate them to others and then live in that truth, is that the Holy Spirit always was, always is, and always will be. And at the very, very beginning two verses of the Bible, we see in the beginning God created heavens and earth, and the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, was present at the very first moment. And he is present today, for the Spirit is always waiting to create something new. Creator Spirit, renewing Spirit. Always wanting to do something amazing and new in our lives. And then through the Old Testament, The Spirit was released on particular people for particular purposes. The first reference is in a chap called, particular people at particular purposes. The Spirit, which is the Hebrew word is ruah, wind of God, fire, breath. And the first time that we see the Spirit released for particular purposes, and we see in Exodus 31 where God says, I have chosen Bezalel and I have filled him with the Spirit of God to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver and bronze. And this guy, so basically, you know, he was given these wonderful artistic gifts to create the Ark of the Covenant. Later, of course, when we see Samson's great power is a gift of the Spirit. Whenever God and man interact, it is in the power of the Spirit. That is why the Spirit is so central and so important. The Spirit of the God came upon Samson in power. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. When the Spirit moves on, Samson loses his power. It is the Spirit that anoints us. It's not about what we know, how clever we are. When you go back to your workplace, to your family, to your community organisation, wherever you are, people sense the Spirit of God in us. We are anointed. And when Jesus started his earthly ministry, he quoted this passage from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. We don't learn how to preach. We receive that anointing in the power of the Spirit. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. The Spirit transforms. We don't get transformed through our own effort, through hard work, through reading lots of stuff. It is a fundamental process of change and rebirth. Prophet Ezekiel says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I pray for the compassion of Jesus. I pray that as you and I get onto a bus or a train, we will look at people and we will see and feel the compassion that he sees and feels when he looks at us and anybody else. As Jackie Pullinger, who went out to Hong Kong and who saw miraculous and instant healings of people from the most terrible drug afflictions. She said, God wants to give us soft hearts and hard feet. That we go out. One of the key messages this morning is that the Spirit isn't given to us so we can have nice warm feelings. I mean, we do sometimes have those depending on how the Spirit touches an individual. The Spirit is given to us to equip us and to empower us to build the kingdom of God in this land. And as this is a rapid tour through Scripture, as the Old Testament is drawing towards its end, Prophet Joel says, afterwards, this is God speaking through the Prophet Joel, afterwards, I will pour out my Spirit, not on just individuals for particular purposes at particular times, but I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. And you've heard this passage just beautifully read, because it was quoted by Peter in the moments after Pentecost. Afterwards, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. So there's excitement building. What's going to be happening? And then, as we enter the New Testament, the Spirit goes wild. He moves in power. When the angel comes to Mary and talks about what's about to happen, it is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One of God will be called the Son of God. People go, oh, we don't do the Spirit, you know, we only do the Bible. The Bible is full of the Holy Spirit. And a living church is called to hold Word and Spirit in beautiful balance. Again, Holy Spirit. I baptize you with water, says John the Baptist. But one more powerful than I will come. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I love the image of fire, which is so often used for the Holy Spirit. Because it implies something which refines fire. That's a lovely song, isn't there? Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire. The fire that burns all the crud and the wasted years in our lives. I think it was John Wesley. Someone said, oh, how did you get hundreds of thousands, millions of people drawn into passionate faith? He said, I set myself on fire. And people drew round to watch me burn. Fire and water. Jesus says in John 7, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. So everything is pointing forward to a dramatic moment when the Spirit is going to be released. And when Jesus has been crucified, and then he has, you know, 13 or 14 different well-documented appearances of the risen Jesus to crowds of up to 500 people. Am I obscuring the screen? Up to 500 people. One of the things he says to his own disciples is, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And this morning Jesus says to us afresh, you know, wait. We can't do any of this stuff in our own power. We cannot understand the extraordinary message of Scripture. We cannot hear God as we pray. We cannot pray anointed prayers that come from Him. We cannot see healings and other signs of wonders. We cannot do anything. We cannot even be faithful witnesses to Him in the outside world through strength of will and learning alone. These are wonderful and precious gifts that fill us when we receive the Spirit. And even people like Peter and all that crowd who were pretty switched on, he said, wait, you've got to have the gift of the Holy Spirit within. A time comes when I will give my Spirit to everyone. And that's the passage that we've just heard in Acts 2. They were locked in the upper room. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came. Do you know, we're not talking about, oh, I miss Jesus. Oh, I've got little tingly feelings. I wonder if the Holy Spirit is around. People came running from across Jerusalem because something extraordinary and physical and powerful was happening. the sound like the blowing of a violent wind, and filled the whole house were sitting. And they saw again this idea of flames, what looked like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And there were people from, you know, Macclesfield and I don't know, all these different parts of the kingdom. And they said, yeah, my boy speaks just like me. And they recognized all these amazing voices. And today, I don't really have that gift myself, but, you know, who releases beautiful heavenly languages to some people. I mean, quite, you know, people like chartered accountants, quite sensible people, like my wife. And people go, oh, we can't do this, you know. Don't want anything supernatural in our church. God is supernatural. Get over it. It's always my message. But if we don't, there's lots of this supernatural in the book. Don't panic. This book is full of it. There are virgin births. There are miracles. There is parting of the sea. God is supernatural. God can do anything. And if we start saying, well, I believe he can do this in that time period, but he can't do this in that time, then we put constraints on an almighty God, and that's quite wrong. Anything can happen. It can happen this morning. It does continue to happen. Peter replied, repent and be baptized. Repent. It's not hard. Be baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit for forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Spirit. And they prayed separately for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if I may, I would love to pray that prayer for you this morning. Because we can never, I forget who it was who said, I leak. Paul said, pray continually to be filled with the Spirit. And the more we give out, the more we serve, the more we leak. You will receive. Not you might receive. Or, you know, if you're Church of England, you will receive. You, all of us, will receive that gift of the Spirit. So how does the Holy Spirit work within us? What does he? Sometimes I call the Holy Spirit it, like hydrogen. But of course, he is one of the beautiful three persons of God. We have a God of community into which we are drawn. Firstly, the Spirit doesn't just somehow affect a marginal improvement so we become 2% more virtuous or whatever. We are born again. Ooh, he's a born again Christian. A bit excessive, you know. Prays during the week. We're all born again. Because when we turn to Jesus, we receive the gift of the Spirit, and we are a new creation, as Paul puts it. We have a new beginning. And that's a great start, isn't it? Because if you've mucked up your life as much as I have, then to suddenly know that each new day there can be a totally new beginning, and God can do anything. If he can turn around slave traders like John Newton, he can do anything in our lives. A new beginning. The Spirit enables us to become sons and daughters of God. Isn't that wonderful? And that new beginning is instant. The moment that we say yes to Jesus, the moment that we turn, seriously turn, from the stuff in our lives that we know isn't right, then we are saved and we are children of the living God. That's the process of justification, and it is instant. Then there is the continual process throughout the rest of our lives of sanctification, becoming changed into the likeness of God. But we become his children immediately. Because those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. You did not receive a Spirit that makes you a slave again. Because we all live our lives very often in fear. Fear is a bigger motivator than love in human psychology. By him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies, tells our spirit that we are God's children. And it is the Spirit that develops our relationship. Who develops our relationship with God. It is in the Spirit. You know, ultimately, can you imagine if I'd met my wife Helen and said, well, basically, I really like you and I'd like you to be married, but, you know, I won't talk to you very much. I'll only talk to you if there's a big problem, okay? And you sit over there. Wouldn't be much of a relationship, would it, really? And that's how we sometimes treat God. In the kind of glass thing, you know, break in case of problems. It's a beautiful relationship. It's the ultimate relationship. And it's a relationship that develops in our heart until it becomes really tangible and really real in the power of the Spirit. And it is through the Spirit that we have access to the Father. I love the story, have I told you this before, of a guy during the American Civil War who was in the army, the Northern Army. And so this is quite true, there's some calamity and he had to be released to go home to sort out something that happened at home. And they said, oh, only Abraham Lincoln himself can give you that release to go home for a while or whatever. And he went to the White House and he couldn't get in and he sat down. And he just sat down and wept. And this little lad came and sat next to him and said, what's wrong with you? And he said, I've got to see the president. The little lad said, come with me. Little lad walked into the White House, walks into the Oval Office. And Abraham Lincoln says, son, what do you want? Dad, this man has to see you. That's what Jesus does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Leads us and empowers us to step into the very presence of a holy God. So that when he looks upon us, he sees the beauty of the risen Christ. What a gift! Yes! And the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Despair! When people who are facing the most terrible things and then say, oh, you know, God isn't delivering, I'm turning away from God. Now I've given him a warning, and this is it. Life is a roller coaster. And when things get really rough, it's not a time to climb out of the carriage. It's a time to press into the very presence of God. And then the Spirit of God helps us in our weakness. And helps us to take our step of faith. You know what belief and faith is? Belief is, this is a jolly good chair, it's been bought by this church, it must have been checked out, it's a good sort of steel conduction, and I'm quite little, and so there must have been heavier other people than me on this chair, and I'm sure it would bear my weight. That is belief. And this is faith. When we choose to put our very being and all that we are into the hands of the living God. And the Spirit enables us to take that step. He enables us to develop the family likeness. When, like I do Alpha and it's amazing. And you see when people's lives change suddenly. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. We don't turn into clones, do we? Look at the diversity in this room. We're all one-offs. But joy, peace, we see our hearts changing. I love this phrase from Paul. He with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory, being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. I love that, don't you? Changing from glory into glory. It draws us together. There's no limit to what this church can achieve, particularly with the new leadership that you have. The one thing that blows the church apart is disunity. Which is why I rejoice that Trafalgar Square will be full this afternoon. And the Holy Spirit showers us with gifts. And they are gifts given to this community for the changing of you all and the world beyond. And there's an awfully wonderful collection of them there. And they're a mix, aren't they? Those are the four different rival passages that list the gifts that come. Now there are some, which are the italicized one, which are the supernatural, particularly supernatural gifts, which, you know, prophecy, the capacity to hear God's heart and to articulate it. Apostleship, stepping out. Miracles. And we do God a disservice if we say, you know, they're not common, but they're flashes of the world to come. And they do happen. And little miracles in our lives, answers to prayer, whenever we put something in God's hands, things do change. They're real. But then there are many other gifts of healing. I do hope I'm going to pray with one or two people afterwards who ask for gifts of prayer for healing. Healing is so important. I remember Sandy Miller saying, we used to pray for nobody and nobody got healed. Now we pray for everybody and quite a few get healed. I think that's a bit better, don't you? Power is here, being showered upon us. Let's receive and open ourselves to receive these gifts. Now, does anybody have all those gifts? Don't be modest. Well, maybe not, but together. Together we've got a fair collection, haven't we? And any gift used for the power of God is a gift of the Spirit. Administration, hospitality, ceiling cleaning. I'm sure Paul missed that one out. These are all amazing gifts. And when we use those gifts, then to this church and all churches, growth comes. So let's now take a moment to be filled with the Spirit. You see in the New Testament, even after Jesus had been, they prayed for people specifically to receive the Holy Spirit. They experienced power as the Spirit came upon them. They were released into praise. They received a new language. It's not universal. No gift is universal. They trusted God and received. You know, ultimately, you find that when the Spirit of God comes, some people feel healing, some people feel warmth. Some people, like me, feel nothing much at all most of the time. But I do remember a big setback in God, and I just sitting in our spare room and just feeling the weight of the Holy Spirit on my head. It was a beautiful thing. Ultimately, God meets us, and the Holy Spirit meets us in different ways, because he knows we're all different. But trust him. I think it would be nice to really pray now that the Spirit of God will fall in this place.